What's up, After Buzzers? We are here and we are on diets, and this diet includes lots of vomit. Stay tuned to find out more on the Santa Clarita After Show on After Buzz.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, After Buzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
We had to get some Kanye on this.
Of course. Just in time for the Grammys.
Yes, I know. Even though he doesn't go to the Grammys.
He doesn't, not today.
No. I love the song. And you guys, once you watch the show, you'll get why I'm playing this song. And I never saw this music video, so I'm just seeing it right now, and it's kind of awkward.
Yeah, it's pretty strange.
So what's up, everybody? We are here with Santa Clarita After Show on After Buzz, and this is episode one of season one, and like I said, we're on diets.
Yeah, we are. So obviously human flesh.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, exactly.
So the anti-vegan diet.
Exactly.
We're the anti-vegan.
I know. So welcome. If you are here watching, we're really excited to talk super late at night about a super interesting show, the Santa Clarita Diet. I'm Jessie Zahner. You can find me all over social media at Athletic. And where can they find you, Mina?
Hi, I'm Mina. You can find me at Mina Makes Magic on Twitter and Instagram.
Okay, so let's start from the very beginning because this is so weird. Like this, how this whole show came about is so weird. So Mina and I actually went to the premiere of this show, and I had no idea what to expect because I had seen the billboards and I love Netflix original shows. Mm-hmm. So I was really excited about it. But I had no idea what I was getting myself into because...
Yeah, I don't even watch zombie stuff at all. The only zombie stuff I watch is if it's, like, meshed with comedy. So, like, Shaun of the Dead, super funny, very dark, you know, British humor.
Yeah.
I love that. Zombieland, I like it because, you know, you infuse the comedy into the situation.
Yeah.
But if it's just, like, straight up zombie flicks, I haven't really... I can't say I don't like it, but I never really got into it. So, because, like, for me, I always gravitate towards comedy.
So, the comedy zombie shows and movies that you've watched, have they been, like, gruesome and, like, disgusting?
In a comedic way, yeah.
Okay.
So, like, it's funny.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, you guys, have you watched Zombieland?
No. People, like, I am, like, I've never watched anything zombies in my entire life. I am so grossed out by everything, so... I try to stay away from horror films, zombies, whatever else.
Yeah.
So this is like my first zombie test run, I guess.
And how did you feel after the first? I mean, we saw it together, and there were parts that were really funny.
Yeah.
But I feel like it's probably going to pick up steam later on.
That's what I'm thinking. So let's start from the very beginning. We see Sheila and Joel. They're the couple. That's Drew Barrymore. She's Sheila and Joel.
Timothy Oliphant. Yeah.
Yes. And he's so good in this show. I actually love him. I think he's I think he's like my favorite character in this whole show.
Yeah.
And they have a daughter, Abby. And basically, they wake up one morning and Sheila's not feeling well. She has like a pain in her stomach, but she's just like a typical mom. She's like, oh, I'm fine. You know, goes along with her day, goes to work, and she gets really sick at work and just starts projectile vomiting like ridiculous amount of barf, and it's green and it's disgusting.
And we were eating popcorn and I was just like, I can't eat the popcorn. It's like so nasty.
People, I was not expecting this. I seriously had no idea this was about zombies and like how a zombie was made. Like, I had no idea. I started looking up how you become a zombie because she throws up. And when she throws up, this little thing comes out of her. And she's like, oh, I threw up this.
The
like, it's nothing. Yeah. And it was her heart, I would assume, right?
Yeah.
So,
Here's my question for you.
Yeah.
So, to become a zombie, you have to be bitten by a zombie. But how did the very first zombie become a zombie? Because it's like the chicken and the egg story.
Well, that's like everything in life, right?
How did the first zombie, like, come into being? From where?
I don't know.
If you guys know, I was going to say, if anyone
does anybody out there know where zombies, like, where the first zombie came from? Well, my other question was, how did she become a zombie?
She went to Abercrombie and Fitch. I'm kidding. That was so bad. That was so bad.
The thing is, though, I like was like believing you. I'm like, really?
No.
Is that a place?
Like, instead of Abercrombie.
I know.
But that was not product placement at all. I swear, guys. Like, not at all.
That's so funny.
How does someone become a zombie other than being bitten? I want
to
know.
Like, well, and that's what I'm like wondering. Like, and we haven't seen the whole show because we're trying to stick with the, you know, show by show. Today we're covering episode 1 and 2.
Mm-hmm.
If I didn't tell you guys that, we're covering episode 1 and 2. So we didn't go anywhere past 2. So I don't know if they're going to tell us how she becomes bit and, or however she becomes a zombie.
Yeah. And I have a feeling that, I mean, the family's probably going to become a zombie, right? Like, there's only so much human flesh in the world. What are you gonna do, like, kill the entire neighborhood?
Yeah. So what did you think about the scene with the barfing? Because again, I did not know this was her, she was gonna be a zombie and all of this. I thought she was going around murdering people with her husband or something. Like, I didn't know what to expect from this show. So when I saw her barf, like, I literally could not take it.
Yeah.
It was everywhere.
It was funny. I mean, I feel like there's bits and pieces of, like, funny moments.
Yeah.
Like, my favorite was when, you know, the first guy that she was with that, not her husband, but the guy
Gary.
That was sitting, Gary.
Yes.
I couldn't remember his name. Thank you.
Yeah.
And he was just being, like, really creepy. Like,
yeah.
And, like, you know, that, like, toxic male masculinity where he's like, I know you want it.
Yeah.
Like, kind of thing. And she wasn't into it. And then she pretends to be.
Yeah.
And then just, like, puts his finger in her mouth,
God.
Like, in a sexual way. I was like, what is this? And then all of a sudden, she just, like, bites it off. And it was just the funniest moment because it was so absurd. Like,
it was so over the top. No, it was, but it was still disgusting. So the part Mina's talking about is, throughout the show, we find out that she and her husband are realtors, and they're, you know, trying to sell this house when she gets sick. Anyways, a new guy, Gary, comes to the office, and he's just a complete D-bag. Like, he is
Seriously. So,
like, I can't even deal with him. But anyways, he, you know, is coming on to her, and she's out after she becomes a zombie. She's out at the bar, and you know, he's trying to get with her, and she's, whatever. She's missing for the night. Her husband wakes up. She doesn't come home. And next thing you know, Gary comes by her house, and she's gardening, and he tries to come onto her again, and she literally bites his finger off, and there's, like, just blood everywhere. It's all over her face. And then she's like, oh, this is the weirdest foreplay ever. And I was like, oh, my God, dude, this is so gross.
Yeah.
Like, it was, like, so funny, but at the same time, it was so disgusting. Like, I cannot take all of the blood.
I was laughing because it was completely unexpected for me.
It was.
And it was so, it was like a freaky, it was like, you know, I think what makes things funny, a lot of the times it's when something is unexpected. So you expect one thing,
right.
Something else happens, and that, like, weird, like, gap
yeah.
of expectations versus reality is what makes something funny.
Well, and that was the first person that she was, that she ate.
Yeah.
That we've seen her eat. All this time she'd been at home eating, like, oh my gosh, like, raw beef and just raw meat. It was disgusting.
Yeah.
Also gross. I can't deal with this. How do you zombie people do it?
At the same time, that's what animals do. So is it really that gross?
So I'm glad that you mentioned that because we, throughout the 2 episodes, we kind of get to meet their neighbors, Lisa and Dan, I believe, and they have the son, Eric.
Mm-hmm.
And Eric,
the cop, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
And Eric is kind of like a creeper is what Abby calls him.
Mm-hmm.
And one thing that he says
in a good way.
Yeah, he is a creeper in a good way. Like,
yeah.
I like Eric. He's cool. But one thing that he says is he it's so funny that you mentioned that because he says, aren't we as humans the ultimate zombie? Because we just, like, eat, like, whatever for, you know, our, to help us, I guess. And then it really made me think, like, oh my God, I never thought about it that
unless
way.
You're vegan.
Unless, yeah, unless you're vegan.
Where you're, like, such a good person
yeah.
that you're just,
vegetarian,
like,
vegetarian. You're
I'm
not, like, killing
gonna hurt
things
an animal.
And eating them.
I'm not going to support the meat industry. I'm not going to support the dairy industry. I really want to be vegan. I'm not being sarcastic. I want to be vegan.
Oh, my gosh. It would
I
be
do.
So hard.
I get inspired by the channels, and then I'm like, how do I make this a lifestyle? It's very difficult.
It is very difficult.
Yeah.
It's crazy. So back to Drew Barrymore's diet. Now she's this zombie. She can't eat anything, but there are other characteristics of her personality that completely change throughout the first episode. Cause at the beginning we see that she's, you know, she's a mom. She has things to do and she comes down in the morning and she talks about Jennifer Lawrence chopping her hair off. Mm-hmm. And she asks her husband if she's bold, because she says, like, I wish I could be more bold. Am I bold? And she's kind of answering her own questions. And she's like, no, I wish I could be like 20% more bolder. And then she's like, no, 80%. No, 80 would be too much. And she's like really like struggling with, you know, who she is and who she wishes she could be. And then when she turns into a zombie, she's like a completely different person. Mm-hmm. You see that she's just like happier. She's more calm. She's like easygoing. Mm-hmm. She also is definitely like more of a risk taker, and
she's lovable both ways though. This she is really the crazy is. Thing about Drew Barrymore as an actress. Like, I feel like every role she does, whether she's like the nerdy girl or like she's one of Charlie's Angels, like whatever she is, if she's a badass or if she's a nerd or she's a mom, like she's always so freaking lovable.
Yes.
Like, you can't help but love Drew Barrymore. That's why I was excited about the show, because I love her. Yes, I think she's amazing.
I do too. And that's exactly why I wanted to see the show too. And it's so funny because that I think that even comes across with her husband in this show. Like, he still is like in love with her, even though she is going kind of crazy.
Yeah. And that's nice. Like, is that true love though? Because you're kind of like adaptable, and you're like adapting to your partner's changing ways, and it's endearing and it's cute.
It is.
And he's like, I'm in this with you if you want me to be. And just like when he goes and tries to go to the doctor because he's so concerned about her.
Oh my god.
And then we see who was it, Patton Oswalt?
Yes.
I love that cameo. That was such a good cameo.
They have a lot of good cameos in this series. That is one of my favorite parts, when he goes to find the doctor who's doing all this research, because when he walks in, he's met with this guy who's just rolling something down the hall. Mm-hmm. Do you remember that part?
Yeah, and that guy's really funny.
Yeah, so he's like, what do you need him for? And he's like, and he's like, I'm just busting your balls. He's like, he's right over there. So you see him, and he's like,
douchebag or whatever he mutters under his breath
after he like walks by.
Yeah.
That guy's hilarious. So I hope we see him more, because we do see him also in episode 2. Mm-hmm. So it's just everything that happens is just really like, I had no idea any of this is going to happen. So I'm just still shocked that all of this zombie stuff is going on.
And this is the other thing. I feel like the cameo, like expanding upon what you were saying, I feel like the cameos really make the show, because all those little things and those appearances, like, the Asian girl in the supermarket.
Oh, I love her.
Like, she's such a great cameo.
Yeah.
She's not a famous cameo, but she's still a great minor role that adds comedic element to the show. And I feel like I'm super excited to see what other cameos show up in episode 3, episode 4. Because I feel like that's what they're doing. Like, they're getting, you know, some traction by just putting in, like, these fun little things that you catch, like, in an I Spy book.
Yes.
And you're like, yes, that was funny. That was lighthearted.
Well, and I love, what is her name, Regina? Is that what her name is?
Regina is which one? The short hair blonde?
No. What is her name? The girl that's in the store. Oh my gosh. Well, the girl that's in the store that he keeps going into to find the stethoscope first.
Oh, yeah.
And I can't remember what her name is. And then he goes in later to find like a new toaster oven knob because he broke his.
It was so relatable. The funny thing is, it was so relatable, like, what he was going through, because I've literally...
Why you've had a zombie in your house, and then you broke the toaster.
Exactly. No, but seriously, there have been times, like, you know when you get so busy in life, and you just, like, space out, or you're, like, debating between different options? There was legitimately a time I went to the supermarket, and I'm just, like, staring, because I'm, like, so spacey, and I'm just thinking about other things, and I was in the produce aisle. This, like, old man looks at me like, are you okay? I'm like, oh, yeah, I'm totally fine. I'm good. Or, like, even, like, when you go to the supermarket and you're like, why are there a million different options for the same thing?
Yes.
And you're, like, comparing prices and brands, and you're like, this is literally the same thing. This is so ridiculous. Right. Like, consumer capitalist
America. That's exactly what he's going through. Like, there's so many stethoscopes, and he's like, which one do I get? And I want a dual whatever stethoscope. Yeah. And she's like,
the best one. Yeah.
She's like, yeah, I'm pretty sure that means two. But it's just, it's a zombie show that's super relatable to just like your life. It's weird. So one of my, one of the most surprising parts of the show for me also was after we see her eat Gary, they have to, like, both of their neighbors are cops. on both sides of the house.
Good cop, bad cop. Yes. Too.
And the one so far has stayed out of their business, but Dan, I believe his name is, that lives next door, he is super, like, right off the bat, he is, you can tell that he's always watching. Because one of the first things that he says to them at the beginning of the episode, when we first meet him, is he said that he noticed a light on in their den all night.
A light on in their den.
Yeah. So when they come out in the morning and they're getting ready to go to work, he's like, hey, I noticed a light in your den that was on all night. Oh, he was
nitpicky. Yeah.
And he's like, Joel's like, yeah, okay. And he's like, yeah, that's pretty unusual. It's like, no, I just forgot to turn the light off, you know? So we see right off the bat that he's like this nosy neighbor who's always... Mm-hmm.
And their business about everything.
Yes.
Yeah. So, which is funny because his stepson is creeper and knows everything about everybody.
Yes, I know.
But he does it in a good way.
Right.
Like, he wants to help. He wants to fit in.
Right.
But at the same time, he also wants to stand out. This other guy is just like, I don't know. He takes his job so seriously.
Yes.
But, like, to the point where he wants to micromanage. It's just funny seeing, like, that dynamic. Like, they don't get along, but they're both... in everyone's business, one up close and personal, the cop, and then the child from afar. Like, I feel like you could analyze that dynamic alone and see the similarities,
a
Venn diagram of how they're both knowledgeable, but one is invasive and the other isn't.
Right.
And the one that isn't invasive is the one that ends up bonding with the family and helping from the inside.
And that's one of the things Joel was worried about. Joel talked to Abby about, you know, what if Eric tells his stepfather, and she's like, no, they don't get along at all. So Eric actually helps them through this process after he kind of knows right away what Drew Barrymore's character is becoming, mm-hmm. or what she is now. And he's shocked by it, but he's almost like excited about it. And then once she kills Gary, I mean, first off, it's like in broad daylight.
Yeah.
Thank God none of the neighbors were home. And then I just can't imagine how stressful this will be, because like the husband and her, they get him in this like big plastic container that mm-hmm. they can't find the lid for, and they drive out into the desert and they like pull it.
Dump it.
And they try it dumps all over the place, and you see a car roll up. For sure, I thought it was the police. Like, mm-hmm. I didn't know who else it could be.
I didn't think it was going to be the kid. I didn't think it would be Abby and the creeper boy. But I forgot his name.
Eric.
Yes.
Eric, yes. Well, it's so funny because I didn't... I definitely thought it was a cop. And I was like, okay, what the hell are they going to do? They had blood literally everywhere. It was spilled all over the place.
I thought it would be a new character. It would have been great if it was a cameo.
Yes.
Like some random...
person.
What cameo would be good for something like that? What do you think?
Gosh.
It would have to be like an authoritative but funny type person.
Oh my God. I love Eugene Levy. Like, I think he would be so funny just like show up, but like he's like so goofy though. I don't know if he's necessarily authoritative,
but he tries to be. Yeah. Like the dad or like in American Pie or like that figure of authority that's still funny.
Yeah.
Yeah, that would be a good
one. Who are you thinking?
For that? I'm trying to think of, like, what actors have been in, like, stereotypical cop roles. Because for me, I almost, like, think Dwayne The Rock Johnson would be perfect.
Oh, my God, that'd be so
funny.
Because
he's, like, this big guy that has such a commanding presence. But he's so, like, lovable and funny.
Yes,
that I feel like it would be just, like, a funny cameo for him to be like, what's going on over here?
But then if somebody else showed up other than the kids, mm-hmm. what would have happened? Because I was like,
if John Cena came
because like I was like, whoever this is, she's clearly going to have to eat him because they're going to find out.
But then she's only going to crave like really muscular meat from like bodybuilders. And then she can only eat that because it's the premium lean meat.
So let's get to that. Cut. So what ends up happening is it's actually Eric and Abby. They come and Eric gets right into cleaning up and helping out and... you know, they get rid of Gary, and Eric kind of helps them with their plan on how they're going to get away with this. They need to go to his house, pack a bag, get in his car, drive it, and he needs to take this. He puts together this, like, he has some type of fluid that is going to wash the blood out of the grass.
There is something like that exists that serial killers use, I'm pretty sure,
right? Oh my God, I don't know.
It's like, What's the chemical called? It, like, erases the prints or something.
Well, that's...
Like, bleach. Oh, bleach!
Is it bleach? Was that what he used?
No.
It was something similar. That, because he tells Abby, make sure you tell your dad to use it, like, 3 to 1 because it will kill the grass. Mm-hmm. So then at, like, 2 in the morning, Drew Barrymore, or Sheila and Joel, are out there spraying the grass. Mm-hmm. And, of course, the neighbor sees and notices. Obviously. Yeah. And has to come say something about them the next day being out spraying the grass with things. Mm-hmm. And they claim they just have an ant problem.
That's it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So aside from that, one of my other favorite parts of the show, of these two episodes, was the dynamic between Abby and Eric. Because we know right off the bat that Eric has this thing for Abby.
An insane crush, yeah.
Yeah. And Abby's just like, you know, I feel like she's just, like, too cool for him, and he's kind of, like, a nerd. She always calls him creeper.
Mm-hmm. But she's not a cool, like, she's not considered part of the cool clique. In her way, she's still kind of an individual. Like, I don't see her being part of any clique.
Well, I think she's cool because she just, like, doesn't give a shit, like, about anything. Like, even when her parents start going through all this, she's like, okay, now I'm going to swear in front of you guys, just so you know.
Have you seen Mean Girls, by the way?
Yes.
Do you know, like, how they have the table of the different cliques?
Yes.
Which one would she be a part of? Because I feel like it's so hard to place her. I feel like she'd be, like a Janice Ian or something. Like, now she's turning into a Janice Ian, like a rebel. Yes. But maybe started off as a Katie Heron.
Like, you might be right about that, actually. Yeah, because I just feel like at this point she just, like, doesn't care. Because we see her just walk out of school. She's like, the hell with this. Because I guess when all of this stuff is going on in your life, you're just like, the hell with it. I'm done.
Yeah. Deuces. Peace out.
they buy a Range Rover. She leaves school. And then they get to the comic place. Because when she ditches school, she sees Eric on her way out. And he's like, I'm going to join you. And he has this robot. Mm-hmm. And he puts the robot down. And the robot starts, like, functioning in some way, and then he's all mad at the robot. I thought it was so cute, the little robot.
And it's almost like mimicking how he is with a
woman.
Yeah. Like a mini me.
But it's actually a really cute moment between the two, because when they go to the comic store, he kind of has this rapport already with the guy that works there, and they can only, like, read these comic books for like 30 seconds at a time, and then they have to put it down. And she somehow finds the Mombie, is that how it's called?
Yeah.
It's a Mombie. Mom zombie comic book, and she starts reading it, and the guy at the comic store is yelling at her, and again, she just doesn't give a shit. She's like, I'm gonna read it. And she, like, basically has this ridiculous strength. Like, I don't know if she was going to some type of class, but she, like, picks him up and throws him on the ground. So I don't know.
Yeah.
But she's pretty...
super, super human.
Yeah.
Turning into, like...
That's what I was like. I was like, is she a zombie too? Like, do they have this, like, weird power like that?
No, I think that just happens when the adrenaline kicks in, right? Like, she's been penting up, everything inside for so long. And she's just over this.
Yeah. She's like, I'm reading this...
Don't challenge me.
I'm reading this comic. So...
Yeah.
So, yeah. Any other parts that you can recall...
I do want to make a weird parallel, just because this happened in my own life.
Yes.
Yesterday. Okay, so I'm apartment sitting for my brother and his girlfriend. They have a cat. I came in around midnight last night, and I saw a dead mouse in the middle of the kitchen.
No
And
way.
I freaked out, because I've never had, like, cats before, or, like, any rodent infestation. And I was like, this place is super clean. There's no way we have a rodent problem.
Yeah.
And so I saw that there was, like, the mouse had been, like, attacked or something.
Yeah.
And I was like, what crazy cat brings in, like, a rodent and doesn't eat it? So then I asked my friend who has a bunch of cats, and I Googled it.
Yeah.
And I found out that cats do this thing where, in order to show their love and appreciation for whoever their owner is, they go and they hunt animals and they bring it inside to be like, look at what I got for you.
Yeah.
And I almost was thinking, it almost feels like Drew Barrymore and Timothy Oliphant's relationship, where, like, she's a zombie who only eats humans, and he's kind of like, I'll get a human for you. I'm in on this with you. Like, I'll bring them for you. And, like, almost kind of like him being, like, showing his love and, like, solidarity with her, and being like, look at what I got you, raw meat from the a grocery store and then, like, trying to step it up. Like, I'm going to get you a human and I'm going to go to, like, the hospital and get a human body and bring it back. So it felt yes. like that weird experience I had yesterday where oh my I was gosh. Like, because I didn't know that was a thing where cats do that. Until yes. everyone was like, no, that's totally normal. It's how they show no, their love. It is. They're yeah. hunters. That's what they do. They kill the rodents and then they bring it inside for their owners to be like, thank you, human.
I had a cat that killed 4 rabbits in one day oh and just God. Kept bringing their head and putting it right in. Ew. Like when you open the door and you like the first step you take, like you had to look down because you would step right on its head. And like, ew. I like rabbits. I love so rabbits. I felt so bad. I had to bring the cat in because I was like, you have got to stop killing 4 mm-hmm. in one day. And my dad was like, because this is when I was younger. My dad was like, I'm going to make you pick the next one up. So I'm like, no, it was totally oh my disgusting.
Gosh. I freaked out yesterday. I was like, I can't do this. I can't do this.
So what did you do?
I'm just so scared of mice. Like, I hate lizards. I hate mice. Like, I mean, obviously, like, the animal I hate more than any animal are crocodiles.
Yes.
But that's not, like, a realistic thing for me to run into. Yeah. So, like, within the realm of possibility of anything I can run into, it's literally just lizards and mice that I just,
oh my God.
I'm, like, so freaked out by them. So I had to, like, gather it in a bag and throw it in the dumpster. Ugh. But I was so scared because I was like, is it alive? Is it dead?
Yeah.
Is it half dead? And then when I was like standing outside of the apartment, I'm like, wait, is that the toy that I bought the cat? Because I recently bought it a toy.
Yeah.
That was, it was like a rat.
Yeah.
That you put like catnip inside.
Yeah.
And I was like, wait, is that the toy? Is he playing with it? And then I was like, no, but I see blood. And I was like, ew, I can't.
Oh, that's gross. So you need a zombie mom exactly. to take care of that for you.
Mombie.
Yeah, a mombie. Yes. We need mombies.
I do. And the funny thing is, my mom actually did help me with it yesterday because I was like, mom, I can't go inside. She just happened to be there with me. And she was like helping me put it inside the bag.
Oh my gosh.
And she hates mice too. But I was like, you need to help me because I'm going to freak out right now. I was such a drama queen about
no,
it.
No, like, I totally can't. Would not pick that up. I'd like can't. Go knock on the neighbor's door and be like, can you come get this? Because I cannot do this.
Yeah, I was scared. And this was like at midnight. So I was just... So, there's no one I can call. Ghostbusters. Like, nothing.
She can't call Ghostbusters. They will not clean that up. Not at midnight.
Can't make a 911 call. They think I'm crazy.
So, but the thing is I'm so glad you brought that up about, like, Joel helping Sheila. Because one thing that we didn't talk enough about that was very prevalent in these two episodes was the diet. Like, the Santa Clarita diet. Her diet was... And I don't know, maybe if you're out there and you're a zombie lover, you can tell me a little bit more about how zombies work. But, like, I did not know that zombies, like, could just eat regular meat. And as the like, grade, I don't know if it's, like, the grade of meat or, like, the freshness of meat or, like,
yeah.
whatever, like, then you can't go back to the old meat. Like, because at first she was eating.
Because the standard, it's like when yeah. you start eating sushi, right? And then you start and you're like, yeah, California rolls, that's like the best sushi I've ever had. Like, that's when I first started eating sushi.
Yeah.
And then I became a snob. I'm like, no, it's like all about sashimi or poke or this or that. And I was like, California rolls are so basic. I like.
So do you think
so
that's
I
just
became
like
a snob about it. Like,
because first we see her eat like a snail.
Yeah.
Then she's eating like just like meat. Like I said, just raw meat mm-hmm. out of the refrigerator. And then she eats Gary.
Her palate changes.
Yeah, but then she tries to go back and she like can't eat it. She's getting sick.
Yeah.
And then she tries to eat the chicken.
Yeah. It's like if you kills. Go it's like if you go to oh McDonald's God, and then you get a chicken sandwich and then you go to a restaurant that specializes or like a food truck that is known for their chicken sandwiches.
But like she literally
you can
can't
never
eat it.
Have
you can never have it again.
Like the cheap brand after you have like the delicious whatever. Or like if you go and you have like homemade brownies versus whatever like random thing they have at any store.
Yeah.
I'm not going to say brand names because I'm just like, I don't want to throw any brand under the bus. But you know what I mean? Like
yeah.
you can never go back to that generic brand. So, you want the homemade stuff.
Well, then even later, Joel goes and gives that guy that works in the doctor's office. He gives him like, what, a few $1,000s or does he give him $1,000 or $500 maybe?
Are you talking about the part where the guy thought he was into necrophilia?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And he gives him money to take a body, but they don't have enough money to afford the whole body, so he gets like a foot.
Yeah.
But then she goes to eat that and she can't even eat that. So we find out that she has to like, they're going to have to kill people to get her to eat because she can't eat anything else, right?
Mm-hmm. She can't. She's gone days without eating at one point, right? It was 24 hours or something
yeah.
like that?
So
yeah.
Since we don't know like, I don't know what happens in the next episode because I'm trying to stay with our shows. What do you think she's going to do? Like, what's their plan? Are they just going to kill innocent people, or do you think they'll go after bad guys? Because, like, Gary was a bad guy, and she makes that clear. She's like, oh, he was a bad guy anyways. Yeah.
This is the thing. I saw episode 3 because I couldn't wait. So I kind of have an idea of what's going to happen in terms
and
of...
Like,
because you asked me, are they going to go after innocent people? You will see in episode 3, because there is this whole dilemma that comes up where I'm not going to tell you the result, but they're like, is it okay to kill... If they're guilty, like if they're guilty humans, does that make it any better? Because they're bad humans anyways, doing bad things. Versus if they're innocent humans,
or well, then yes, like, right?
Is human life human life, or are we able to judge who's guilty, who's innocent, and who is worthy of life? It almost goes back to like that death penalty question that's so polarizing.
So I have to ask you, if you were her. And try to keep, like, your thoughts about episode 3. But, like, what would you decide?
What do you mean?
To, like, eat.
Well, obviously, it's so hard to eat something that's in it. But isn't that the vegan argument? Like, you shouldn't eat animals because they're innocent creatures that don't deserve to die. But then you have, like, pescatarians who are like, well... I'll eat fish because the way fish are fished isn't the same way cows are slaughtered. The way cows are slaughtered are super inhumane. The way fish are caught are better. But then there's people who argue, but what about fish farms? Like, it's like drowning a fish to take it out of water. So there's, like, so many different arguments of, like, is it okay to eat cows? Is it okay to eat pork? Is it okay? Or should you just eat vegetables? Should you cut the line at dairy?
Yeah.
It's, like, that same argument. Like, is it okay to eat innocent humans versus guilty humans? And who are we to judge if someone's innocent?
So who are you gonna eat? Just anybody?
I'm gonna eat you.
Oh shit.
I'm kidding. Who am I gonna eat? Do I want to get rid of the bad people in the world? Or who do I think will be delicious?
Or do you just eat whatever comes up?
I'm thinking about like celebrities right now. Like, what celebrity would I want to have on a platter? Just like,
I know a few.
Who would you want to eat? If you could eat any celebrity, like, you just cut them up and wasn't there a serial killer who was doing that?
Jeffrey Dahmer.
Dahmer, yeah.
So there's a few serial killers that like did that.
That's so disgusting.
But Jeffrey Dahmer is one of the most notorious.
And, yeah.
Yeah.
Interesting.
So
just random humans?
No, so he actually kind of had like a theory behind it. And if you are like studying Jeffrey Dahmer out there, maybe you can clear this up. But he had this thing where he like wanted to feel like powerful over people, and I think he was also like gay. Mm-hmm. So like he went after guys in the club and then would like bring them home and then kill them and then sleep with them and then cut their body parts off and then store them in the refrigerator.
Oh my God.
But actually, I don't know if he actually ate them or not. But I know that he had like body parts stored.
But you remember in history the Donner Party or whatever? They had to, like, start eating the horse and eating each other. There's something weird that I learned in fourth grade.
No, but there was another serial killer who was in Philadelphia. He was taking prostitutes off streets.
Mm-hmm.
And then he was, like, he had this, like, dungeon, like, down, like, below ground, like, behind his house. And mm-hmm. he would, like, torture them by electrocuting them. And he actually, like, electrocuted... This is really bad that we're talking about this. But he, like, electrocuted them to death. Like, not all of them, but, like... accidentally
oh, that's
one
good.
Of
that's
them
that's good that it's not yeah. all I'm joking yeah. I'm being sarcastic that's seriously
and
ridiculous
he, this is like the worst story I can't even believe I'm telling you guys this but he like chopped the one up that he killed because he didn't know what to do with her
mm-hmm.
and then he fed it to the other girls that he was keeping there.
Ew!
I know
I can't even listen to that. It's so disgusting.
Anyways, he got caught and he got killed in jail, so he's taken care of. So
that's what happens in someone's mind where they
you
think...
have to be really crazy, or you have to be a zombie.
Maybe they're zombies.
Maybe there's real life zombies.
Oh my God, they walk among us.
Yes.
Who's the one?
I don't know.
Do
who's
we have
next?
Any celebrity zombies?
Do you have Michael Jackson
from Thriller?
Yeah. Do you have a celebrity zombie that you know of?
A celebrity zombie. Well, what's the definition of a zombie? Because I feel like there was like an Urban Dictionary.
Yeah, we didn't even get to that.
Definition. Let's see. Because we keep talking about them, but what are they?
I know.
What are zombies? Okay. So, the definition, according to Urban Dictionary. Well, first of all, the scientific name.
Yes.
Because this is so crucial to categorize them, you know, scientifically, is Homo coprophagus somnambulus. And I'm guessing it's, these are like all Latin roots, just because they, like, if you ever read Harry Potter, a lot of the spells have Latin roots. And I recognize, like, obviously homo means same. Copro, I'm guessing that's like corpse, because in Spanish cuerpo is body. So I'm guessing it's something like that. I don't know what phagus is. Somna, what, sleep? Like insomnia?
Yeah.
Somna is probably sleep. Ambulus, ambulate, like move, like a moving, sleeping body. That is not human. I might be completely wrong because I don't know Latin, but this is like what I'm trying to like gather for it. But the definition is a deceased human being who has partially returned to life due to undeterminable causes. The brain retains base facilities, namely gross motor function. In its near mindless state, it grasps no remains of emotion, personality, or sensation of pain. In rare cases, some of the reanimated have reflexively performed routine activities from their past lives. But I'm just thinking, like, that's, but the thing is, you still see personality in Drew Barrymore, so she's not full-on zombie yet, is she? So because if it says it grasps no remains of emotion, personality, or sensation of pain, first of all, she has emotion. She gets super excited. Excitement is an emotion.
Yeah.
She's excited about life. She's jazzed. She's enthusiastic. She's energetic.
Right.
And when she doesn't have food, like a normal human, she is hangry and and like drained.
Yeah.
So she still retains a lot of human qualities.
She definitely does. Yeah. And that's so interesting because I truly didn't know exactly what a zombie was. But yes, she definitely does have emotion. But I feel like it's so hard not to have emotion. And it would, like, I don't know what that would even look like.
Because you're right. Because like everything. Like
exactly.
Yeah.
So now you guys have learned a little bit more about zombies. But before we go tonight, I want to talk to you guys about another new show that's coming out, The Good Fight. Have you heard about that show?
I actually like saw like some sort of description of it online, but I don't really know a lot about it.
Yeah, so I've been hearing about it all over the radio. So The Good Fight is the next chapter of The Good Wife story. Have you seen The Good Wife?
I have it. I watch comedies, remember?
That's true. That's true. So it's a CBS All Access original series set in the world of The Good Wife. The Good Fight is from the creators of The Good Wife. Robert and Michelle King continue as showrunners, and Christine Baranski reprises her role as Diane Lockhart. Diane is at the end of her career, planning retirement, but loses everything in a Ponzi scheme, and now has to rebuild her life. When I heard this, I was like, this is crazy. Like, I want to watch this now. Could you imagine, like, planning your retirement and then losing everything on a Ponzi scheme?
I mean, I feel like some Americans have gone through that.
Yeah, so be careful. And this might be a good show to watch if you're going through this. Mm-hmm. So Kush Jumbo reprises her role as Luca Quinn. Luca is finding her footing after joining a new law firm. Rose Leslie joins the cast as Maya Rendell, and Maya is just at the beginning of her career as a lawyer when her father is accused of starting the Ponzi scheme that ruined Diane. So that is a little bit twisted right there. Yeah. Many of the guest stars Good Wife fans know and love will be returning, including Carrie Preston, Gary Cole, and Matthew Perry. Just like The Good Wife, The Good Fight will not shy away from the controversial issues of the day. New episodes will be released on CBS All Access Sundays beginning February 19th. To start your free trial of CBS All Access, go to cbs.com/goodfight. So to start your free trial, cbs.com/goodfight, and they're going to start Sundays, February 19th. And I actually saw the trailer for this, and it looks really, really good.
I was going to say, it's so great that they have like an online link, because I barely watch TV anymore. Like, I watch a lot of stuff online.
No, it's so true. And that's actually why I wanted to watch Santa Clarita Diet, because I do watch everything.
Netflix.
Yeah, and I love Netflix. And so it's interesting because I kept hearing about this on the radio, and I watched the trailer, like I said, today, and it looks really good. So now I'm like, I'm going to have to add another show to the mix of things. So check it out, guys. The Good Fight, February 19th.
Exciting.
So
yes,
I know. So anything else that we missed from episode 1 and 2 that you can think of? Or any other zombie-related things that we should bring up?
Any zombie-related things? I'm trying to think right now.
I'm just like still in shock and kind of, you know, I'm having to deal with Drew Barrymore being a zombie. And
a very cute zombie.
She's really cute. Lovable. If they're trying to get like people like myself into the zombie world, it's working because I was never into zombies and now I'm like talking about zombies and learning about zombies. But one thing that I did want to mention is I saw her interviews from the premiere, mm-hmm. and it was really sweet how she talked about this role, because mm-hmm. she says she, you know, really likes to pick and choose roles based on, you know, how they are. She's not going to go just for any role. And she said she'd been, you know, going through a really hard time in her life, and she loved this part and she really wanted to make it happen because it's just like such a light comedy in the mix of like everything that's happening right now, yeah. not only with what she was going through in life, but now what everybody's going through just with like all the politics
current
and everything.
Events. Yeah. Yeah, totally.
So this is just like such a nice light show to kind of check out.
Yeah. I mean, it's just about your mind like off everything else. Eating people and murdering yeah. people. No
you don't
deal.
Have to worry about Donald Trump when your mom's a zombie. Like, you know, yeah. you're going to make it hopefully yeah. unless she bites or eats you. Well, if she bites you, then you could become a zombie too. So I can't wait to see what happens.
That's, yeah, it'll be exciting.
Yeah, all right.
Yeah.
Well, thanks so much for joining us, guys. Remember to check us out on YouTube. Go to AfterBuzz TV and subscribe to our YouTube channel. Make sure to like and comment on our video. We'd love to hear all that you guys know about zombies. Inform us. I'm going to be doing some more research on zombies. I can't wait to see what happens in episode 3 and 4. So check us out next week. We'll be back for episode 3 and 4. And I'm Jessie Zahner. You can find me all over social media at Athletic. And tell them where they can find you, Mina.
Mina makes magic, because I make the magic happen, guys.
Yes.
I really do.
So until next time, guys, we'll see you next week. Bye.
Bye.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz, see you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.